Okay. So first off, just want to give you guys a quick update before we get into the instruction. It looks like the Lord has opened a door for me to teach and spend time with guys in these homeless shelters. So I've gone to 3 homeless shelters so far, one in Kempton Park, one in Benoni, and one in Springs. And they have all welcomed me in. These guys are sitting doing nothing. And so they have less excuses than ever. And they're really, there's some of them that are really hungry for the word, really hungry for the Lord, really want to change their life. And they see that what's going on right now, that the Lord is doing something in the world, that things are shifting. And there's some of them getting really serious. So keep that in prayer. Is by God's grace, I want to go out there at least 2 times a week and spend a couple hours with them and just spend time in the word. So that's exciting. Other than that, I think just got to keep focused, you know. It's important that we all stay focused on what the Lord's called us to do. That's the thing that he's been putting in my heart. Just stay focused. Can't be distracted. All right, let's get going here. I'm going to pull these notes up. All right, y'all can see that? All right, good. Okay, so we're going to talk about some keys to Bible study tonight. This isn't going to be an especially deep session, but I think these are important things, and these are things that we have to keep in mind, things we should be aware of as we start entering into the Word. Okay, so first scripture I wanted to start with was John 4:24, and this is where Jesus Christ speaking to the woman at the well in Samaria. And she was quite a carnal woman, and she had a lot of error in her mind and in her heart. She was confused. And so Jesus had to reveal the truth to her that God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. And so as we start getting into the Word of God, I think it's important to consider the end of what we are seeking to accomplish. And that ultimately, we are reading the Word for the purpose of becoming more and more acceptable to God, so that we are more and more pleasing to him, and that our worship of him can be in spirit and in truth, that it can be pure worship. And so as we read the Word, we have to understand the Word of God, the Scriptures, it's a spiritual endeavor. You could read the Bible with a great intellect, but if you're not born again, if you don't have that new spirit, if you're not really seeking to be a true worshiper of the Father, you're not going to get much out of it. Now, look, God can still use his word, and he can start hammering at your heart and start turning you to him. He can do those things. But really, we have to remember, this is a spiritual endeavor, and we want to be made pure before the Father. So as we're seeking the word, we're reading a spiritual book, and it's a book of truth. But we're asking him to guide us in it so we can understand properly what we need to understand. Okay, so with that being said, here's 3 things to prepare us for the word. These are 3 things. There's more than 3. Again, it's just simple. I'm kind of breaking it down. But these are 3 things that have helped me tremendously. First thing is purity. First thing is purity. Ask God to make your heart pure. Jesus Christ said, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God." You could read the Bible and never see God, and never find God, and never hear his voice. If you're filthy, if you're unclean, if you're defiled, it's going to hinder your ability to see what God wants you to see in the Word of God. And that obviously is going to hinder your ability to see God moving in life and him directing your path. Blessed are the pure in heart. I used to not even think it was possible to have a pure heart. I didn't even think that was possible. And it's sad because I grew up in churches and I never even thought it was a possibility. It wasn't even really preached. But as I continued in the Word of God, I started seeing that not only is it possible, but it's one of the things that's required. And we can't purify our own hearts. This is the work of the Holy Spirit. You can read it in Acts chapter 15. But In James chapter 4, he does say, cleanse your hands, ye sinners, purify your hearts, ye double-minded, be afflicted, mourn. You know, let your joy be turned into mourning and into weeping. So our job is to repent. If there's any uncleanness in our hands, we got to put those things away. If there's any uncleanness that's drawing our eyes, we need to cut those things off. Jesus Christ spoke seriously about these things. Purity. He's a holy God. It's a Holy Spirit. He wants us to be pure. When you're pure, you're going to see way more in the Word. Second thing is prayer. When you approach the Word of God, man, pray. Ask God for wisdom. Ask God for understanding. Ask God for insight. Ask God for Him to reveal Himself to you through His Word. Ask God for Him to speak to you. Prayer. It says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally, and it shall be given him. That's James 1:5. Now, if you read verse 6, he'll explain you have to ask in faith. You can't be wavering, and that's important. But prayer is so important to prepare us for the Word. And the third thing is, come to the Word with purpose. Okay, come to the Word with purpose. Don't just come to the Word haphazardly. Don't just come to the Word, you know, looking for your favorite verse that makes you feel good. Come to the Word with purpose. Purpose that you want to continue all the way and be a true disciple of Jesus Christ. Purpose that you want to be different. Purpose that you want to be corrected where you're wrong. Purpose that you want to be rebuked where you're in error. Purpose that you want to be edified where you need that edification. Purpose. When you read the Word, purpose. And here, this was a scripture I posted on the group this morning. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. Purpose that you want to do God's will. Not just hear, not just learn, not just find out neat stuff. There's tons of neat stuff in the Word of God. But the goal is not to just find neat stuff. The goal is to be a doer of his will. You see that all through the Gospels. Jesus Christ emphasizes that. He that doeth the will of my Father in heaven. Okay. Now, there's four ways of taking in the Word. And I mean, you could argue there's more, but I'm talking about like personally. If you're going to personally come to the Word, here's four ways you can take in the Word. First one is read it. Read it. Isaiah 34, verse 16 says, seek ye out of the book of the Lord and read. The kings of Israel were commanded to write their own copy of the law and to read it every single day of their life so that they would fear the Lord and not be lifted up above their brethren. Now look, in Jesus Christ, we have been called to be kings. We've been called to be kings. He's preparing us for kingship, for rulership in his kingdom. And man, if you don't read the Bible through, I'm talking Genesis to Revelation, if you don't read the whole thing, you're not fit to rule. You're not fit to have that proper judgment. That's the only way you can have proper judgment. And by the way, God is the judge of all. God's throne is a throne of judgment. And he has committed all judgment to the Son. John chapter 5. So Jesus Christ is the judge of the entire world. And that's part of the gospel that was preached. You can read it in Acts chapter 10. You can read it in Acts chapter 17, that Jesus Christ is the judge of the entire world, and he's going to come back and judge the world in righteousness. Now, we are to be conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. And if we're to be conformed to the image of Jesus Christ, part of that is he wants us to have sound judgment, to be able to draw that line between what's holy and what's profane, what's clean and what's unclean, what's acceptable and what's abominable. We need to be able to draw that line. The only way we can be able to do that is from reading the Word. Listen, many cults study the Bible. But if you study the Bible without reading it, it's dangerous. It's one of the most dangerous things. The first thing is you got to read that book. Many modern Christians, they just live on Jeremiah 29:11. Romans 8:28, John 3:16. Those are about the only three verses they know. If that's all you know, there's no hope. You're not going to make it all the way. Okay, if you want to continue all the way, be a true disciple of Jesus Christ, finish the course, you've got to read all of it. Read through it. I encourage people, read fast so you can get the overview sense of what you're reading. Read slow so that you can get the deep things. Man, there's not like one right way to read it. Read it fast, read it slow, read it forwards, read it backwards, read the Bible. So important to read the Bible. Second thing is study it. Now, studying is not the same as reading. We looked at the scripture last week, 2 Timothy 2:15. Study to show thyself approved unto God. Studying is going to help clarify things and open up things that you start to pick up on in your reading. But if you just read and you don't study, you'll never really get the full revelation on those things. And so a lot of times your study is going to spring out of your reading. So you're going to be reading through a passage and something's going to jump off the page. And you're going to be like, whoa, what is this thing? What is this righteousness of God in Christ? I want to study this thing out, you know, and it's going to jump out of you. And that's where, man, get that thesaurus, get that concordance, get that dictionary, and start running the references, looking those things up, and study those things out. And God, again, you can choose what you're going to study, or you can have that organic way of studying, where as you're reading, the things that start to pop off the page. Look, there's a reason why certain things pop off the page. Those are usually the things that God, that you're ready for, and God wants to bring to your attention. So take note of those things and study those things out. It's wonderful. And you can study privately. You can study in a small group like we're doing here. But studying is important. You can't just read. You got to study it also. Third thing is listening to the word. Okay? Personally, I have gained many insights into the word of God, into the kingdom of God, into the things of Jesus Christ from listening to somebody else read the Bible. Things that I never picked up on from reading it myself. There's something about listening. And there's a couple scriptures about it. Revelation 1:3 talks about blessed is he that readeth. Then he says, blessed are they that hear the words of this prophecy. Something about listening and hearing. Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. So a wonderful thing. And we used to do this in my father's church back in America. Is before we'd start service, we'd open up and we would read through at least a chapter of scripture, maybe two chapters, just have a public reading of the word of God and just sit and listen. You can get the Bible on CD. Well, nowadays, I don't think they even really do CDs much anymore. So you get MP3s or whatever. But I remember back in America, man, I had the Bible on CD and I just listened to it as I was driving, just listen to it, man. Honestly, I think listening to the book of Hebrews, that was one of the biggest life-changing experiences for me. I remember one day I was sick. I was lying on the couch. I put the book of Hebrews on. And see, because here's the thing. If you read the Bible, you might come across something and boom, that's exciting. And then you start studying it and you lose track of the flow of thought. But the great thing about when you're listening is it just keeps going. Man, listening to the book of Hebrews, that put the fear of God in me. That changed my life. I mean, that thing turned me from sin, turned me from uncleanness to the living God, hearing. Blessed are they that hear. And then the last thing, technically these are two different things, but I'm kind of throwing it together, is memorizing or meditating on the word. And this is huge. Paul told Timothy, meditate upon these things. Give thyself wholly to them. Listen, personally, I'm actually not a big reader naturally. I'm really not. Naturally, I'm not a big reader. I'm actually not a great student. I was just really good at math, so I did math when I went to college, and it was easy. But it's not because I was a great student. It was just because I was good at it. So what I was growing up is I loved to think. I was a thinker. And I would try to understand things. And when I was a kid, I spent so much wasted time on playing video games, watching TV and movies, daydreaming, just wasted hours and hours and hours and hours and days of my life on nonsense. Once I turned to God and started reading the scriptures, man, I spent hours and hours meditating on the word. And this has been a real source of my understanding. I don't watch TV, I don't play games, I don't go to movies, I don't watch movies, I'm not interested in that stuff, but I love the Word of God, and I think on it, and I meditate on it, and I pray. you know, something stands out and you just take that and you chew on it and you chew on it and you ask God, open this thing up to me. And you'll be amazed at how much God will reveal to you when you choose to really love his word. You guys know the scripture, Psalm 1, verse 2, that the man who's blessed is the man who delights in God's law and he meditates in it day and night. Day and night. Remember, that was a king. David was a king. We're called to be kings. If you want to go to that next level, you want to be honorable in the eyes of God, you got to start really chewing on these things. Make it your delight. Okay, three things we must do with the word. First thing, believe it. Believe it. Okay? And this is so important. I can't tell how many people I've taught this to. When you read the word, don't try to interpret it. Don't try to figure out what it means for you or what it means to you. First thing you do is read it for what it says and believe it for what it says, whether or not it makes sense, whether or not you understand. If you start by just reading it for what it says and believing it, that's where good understanding is going to flow out. I can't tell you how many people have told me Jesus is the only way to heaven and John 14, verse 6. And they'll quote John 14, verse 6 and see, Jesus is the only way to heaven. Now, it's true. Jesus is the only way to heaven. But John 14, verse 6 doesn't exactly say that. John 14, verse 6, Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me. Okay, so there's a gospel that's been preached for the last 150 years about if you want to go to heaven, Jesus is the only way to heaven. He died on the cross for your sins. You need to accept him as your Savior so you can go to heaven. That's not really preached in the Bible. It's not what Jesus preached. It's not what the apostles preached. Okay? There's a lot of people who want to go to heaven, but they don't want God. There's a lot of people that would love to go to heaven when they die. They'd love an insurance, a free insurance ticket to heaven. But they have no interest in the Lord. They have no interest in his will. They have no interest in his ways. They want nothing to do with him, and they want him to have nothing to do with them. It's not about going to heaven. It's about being reconciled to the Father. It's about being rejoined to God. Jesus says, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. He didn't say no man comes to heaven. Listen. Isaiah 14, Lucifer wanted to ascend into heaven. Guess what? He's going to be cast down into hell, the scripture says. It's not about heaven. It's about the Father. See? So by just believing what it says and paying attention to what it says, so important, before you try to interpret it, believe it. It's a great scripture here in 1 Thessalonians 2, verse 13. Love this scripture. Write this down and look this up later. Meditate on this. But Paul says, to the Thessalonians, and it was Paul, Silas, and Timothy. They were all writing to the church of the Thessalonians. And they said, for this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when you received the word of God which you heard of us, you received it not as the word of men, but you received it as it is in truth, the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. See, look at. The word of God's quick and powerful. The word of God is the most powerful thing in this inside of this universe. The word of God, the spirit of God, right? But the word of God doesn't really work in you unless you believe it. He said, but if you believe it, when you receive it as the word of God, see, Paul said, when we preached, you didn't think it was just men preaching. You knew that was the spirit of God. That was the word of God. You believed it. And he says it effectually works in you. It effectually works in you when you believe it. You got to believe it. Second thing you got to do with the word is you got to obey it. You got to obey it. Truth is, if you really believe it, you're going to obey it. Okay? And these kind of go hand in hand. But you got to obey it. You can't just be a hearer of the word. David said in Psalm 111, verse 10, he said, a good understanding have all they that do his commandments. Okay, so good understanding doesn't just come from reading and studying the Bible. Again, you can read and study the Bible till the day you die and go to hell. Good understanding actually comes when you start obeying his commandments, when you start doing his will. And we talked about it in James 1:25 as well. Jesus Christ said, if any man will do the Father's will, he'll know of the doctrine. And man, I can't tell you how many things that you read through the Bible and there's things that you're just not getting. There's things that are just blocked to you. And the difference in those things being opened in my life was not me continuing to read, but it was actually me bringing my life into obedience in a certain area. And when I finally brought myself into obedience, all of a sudden, boom, those things in the scriptures that I couldn't get before, and all of a sudden they're like clear, they're open. Comes through obedience. Obedience is so important. And then the last thing I say you got to do with the word is you got to speak it. You got to teach it. And I know not everybody necessarily has the office of teaching, but when you believe something that's good, something that's really good, you can't help but tell people about it. You know, when you find a really good restaurant with great food and it's good prices, you're going to tell your friends and your family. You're not going to be ashamed about it because you tasted the food. You know, you paid the bill. You know the cost it was. So there's not going to be any shame in it. You're going to proclaim that good news. And the truth is, Paul said in 1 Corinthians 4:13 that we have the same spirit of faith. And here's the spirit of faith. If you have real faith, here's what it is. We also believe and therefore speak. When you believe, you can't help but speak. You can't help but tell others. You can't help but talk about it. You have to speak. So there's no such thing. There's no such thing as just a private personal faith. Now look, are we supposed to have personal faith? Absolutely. Are there things that we do in secret for our Father in secret? Absolutely. We're not just running around trying to get glory of men. We're not running around trying to get gain. But when you really believe it, man, you speak up. You can't keep it. You can't keep it to yourself. Okay. And then three things that I thought were important to just mention concerning church and preachers. And these are things that I found to be a help to me. So first thing I say is, go to a good church that teaches and preaches the word. Now, talk about this in a second. I know that we as believers, we form the church. So we don't just go to church, okay? I know the building is not really the church, that we are the church. So I understand that. But I'm just speaking generally here. It's important. You know, Jesus Christ said, I'll build my church. And when he said, I'll build my church, what's implied in that is that it's a body of believers. It's an assembly of believers. It's a group of believers, not just individual Christians. Now look, God wants to work with us individually. He wants to do special things with us individually and build us up individually so that, you know, if we have to go through something really hard and we're all by ourselves, that we can still endure. Jesus Christ is all that we need. But the thing is, he also wants to fit us in a body. And so Hebrews 10, verse 23 through 25, you can look it up, but talks about, I think it talks about like provoking one another to love and to good works. And then it talks about not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is. So we don't want to forsake the assembly. And again, when I say go to a good church, that doesn't mean it has to be a recognized nonprofit, you know, organization, something that's officially recognized by the government. It's not what I'm saying. In fact, the time will come, probably even in this country, when if you go to an officially recognized church, a church that's recognized by the government, you'll be an apostate. You know, the time might come when you're going to have to go underground. And such things have happened in Eastern Europe and in Russia and in China. You can study church history even just over the last 100 years, and you'll be shocked at the things people have had to endure and what they've done. But we got to assemble. We got to assemble. We got to continue in the word, not just individually, but as a group. My second point that I wanted to make was become part of the church. Don't just go. Don't just attend. Don't just sit there on the sidelines. Okay? You guys all know the passage in 1 Corinthians 12 and the whole chapter talks about the body of Christ and how, and Paul likens it to a physical body and how each one of us, man, we're a different part, we're a different member. And yes, there's some parts that might be more vital than other parts. Okay, it's just the reality. You know, my heart is more important to my life than my my appendix. You know, my heart's more important, okay? For me, I'd say having my two legs is more important than my pinky finger, okay? So I understand. But really, to operate at maximum capacity, you need all the parts, present, active, and working, and functioning at their full capacity. If you want to really operate at full capacity, and we need to become part of the Church of Jesus Christ, become part of the body of Christ. And it's so important, that journey of figuring out what part am I, you know, and I say, commit these things to prayer. Ask God, God, what are my gifts? What are the gifts of the Spirit that you've given to me? Because everybody who's been born again and has the Spirit of Christ in them, everyone has at least one gift of the Spirit that will be manifest to profit the body of Christ. Again, our gifts are not given for our own profit or for our own gain or for our own benefit. Our gifts are to edify the body of Christ. And the body of Christ can never really become what it's supposed to be unless we are all becoming part of the church. And it's sad what a lot of churches have turned into. It's sad. And it's not necessarily that there's bad people, but I think a lot of times it's just a bad model. You know, if I had a rugby team, and the rugby team only got together once a week to just hear the coach talk about rugby, and nobody was really playing their positions, nobody was practicing their positions, there weren't trainers, there weren't, you know, everybody gathering in. You were never practicing as a team. You're never going out and playing games against other teams. Your rugby team would be pretty lousy, and that's putting it quite mildly. I mean, that rugby team would be a joke if they ever had to line up against another team and play. Look, if you want to have a good rugby team, you can't just meet once a week and have a guy just talk about general rugby rules, general rugby principles. You got to get in and practice and be part of the team. Look, this isn't supposed to be a spectator sport where there's only one guy doing the work and everybody else just watching. So this is important. And that's why, you know, even in this venue, we want to have the discussion forum after, where we can start breaking things open and start working and praying together. And again, discovering what are our gifts? What is my part in the body of Christ? And then the last thing that I always encourage people, and this has helped me a lot, is don't only listen to one preacher. Do not only listen to one preacher. And it's not that there may not be seasons where you're only listening to one guy at a time. That's fine. But I've just found personally that people who latch onto one person and only listen to that one person often become very out of balance, because it's very rare you're going to get somebody who's like perfectly well-rounded, balanced like Jesus Christ. You know, there's only one Jesus Christ. He is the head of the church. There's no other Jesus Christ. So what I found personally, which helped me tremendously, is God has put some key men in my life at different stages in my life, depending at the stage I was at. And I can think of them right now. I can think of five key men other than my dad. Okay, so my dad got saved. My dad became a pastor. So I listened to my dad, But five other key men, older men in the faith, who I heard their preaching. I continued in the word. I continued in things God had given them. And it's helped me grow tremendously. 1 Corinthians 3:5-8, Paul explains that he planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. In the Old Testament, it says, out of the mouth of two or three witnesses, let every word be established. There's a reason why Jesus Christ sent his apostles out two by two. There's something about hearing it from two or three witnesses that really helps confirm the truth. It helps establishing the truth. It helps build a nice, well-rounded perspective. So I would just encourage, don't just listen to one man. Make sure you find a few good men And again, ask the Holy Ghost to guide you. When I came to South Africa, I said, Lord, please, my wife and I need an older man in the faith who is filled with the Holy Ghost. We don't need a guy who knows a lot of Bible. We've been around guys who know lots of Bible for a long time. We need a man who is filled with the Holy Spirit. Please, Lord, can you lead us to this man? And it was via YouTube. Would have been better in flesh. But God sent the right man, Brother Francis Chan, to us. And that man has been such a blessing to my wife and I, to our spiritual growth, to our family over the last year and a half. Actually, almost 2 years now. And so again, the Lord will give you who you need at the time you need it. Okay, that is the end of the lesson. Let me just pray real quick. We'll take a 10-minute break and then we'll come back together. Father, thank you so much for this time. Thank you so much for your word. Thank you so much for your spirit. Father, please just pray that these sessions will be a help to your body. Father, help us to discover you first and foremost, to really know you, and then, Father, to really become what you've called us to become in you. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, guys. See you in 10 minutes.